Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. We're just a few minutes early, but I wanted to be early so I could wave at everybody and say hello. God bless you this morning. We're just thankful for being here today. We're grateful. This is truly a day that the Lord has made. And in the middle of everything that is going on, God is still so very, 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 very good to us. God is good to us. And I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how anybody figures it and you know, manipulates the data and all of those sorts of things. God is still good to us. And when you can understand that God is good, and sometimes we'll put exceptions on it to say, well, God is good except when this happens or when that happens. No, God is good always. Even in the middle of sadness, God is good. In the middle of trouble, God is good. At the death of a loved one, God is still good. You know, sometimes we don't understand why things happen and, you know, why God allows them to be. I come to discover that a lot of times I don't have to understand why. I just got to put my trust in the Lord. And I know that as long as the Lord is in control, and he forever shall be in control, as long as our God is in control, there's a phrase that I use often because it means something to me personally. It shall be well. It shall be well as long as God is in control. How long is God going to be in control? As long as there's something that needs to be controlled of, God is going to be in control. He's God. And today we just praise him. Good morning, everybody. You're not late. I just came on a minute or two early. I was trying to get ahead of the game. You know, for the last couple of weeks, I've had issues with technical stuff. And so I said, today I'm going to get ahead of it. And I'm going to start a minute or two early just to be on the safe side. So you're not late. You're not late. But welcome. Welcome. Welcome to each of you. I'm Pastor Roy Carter from the New Life Christian Fellowship Church, located at 1529 North Wisconsin Street here in Racine, Wisconsin, 53402. Our telephone number, 262-417-7363. Now, the office is not manned on a regular basis, you know, during this COVID time. But if you call and leave a message, somebody will get back to you as soon as it's convenient. If you send them some sort of a postal mail, somebody will get there. The mail is checked on a regular basis. Somebody will respond in some kind of way. Feel free to reach out to us. You can send us a message here on the Facebook page. You can go to our website at nlracine.org, and there you will see an envelope that you can click on and send your comment, your prayer request, your encouragement, your testimony. All of those sorts of things are still going on. We're not meeting at the sanctuary, you know, because of the pandemic. We do have Bible study that we get together on Zoom and meet at the Bible study time. We continue to reach out to each other that we might pray for each other, that we might share with each other, that we might love each other. So today we just say good morning and welcome to you. We're grateful for you being here. I always start off each week with something that's so very, 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 very important. We got to make sure, people of God, that we continue to practice the health practices that our medical professionals are telling us that we need to do. Don't become complacent. Continue to put that mask on. Every time you leave the house, put the mask on. Wear it and put it up over the mouth and the nose. It don't do no good to have it down here. Put it on properly. That I know it gets aggravating. I know it's all of those things, but it's necessary. So find yourself putting your mask on. Practice social distancing. Go out when it's beneficial, not just because I'm bored and there ain't nothing to do. No, no, no. We got to get ahead of this. And if we all practice these things, continue to wash your hands. Don't let the guard down on your hand washing and sanitize. Do all of these things. And then together with God's help, we shall prevail. We thank you, those of you that are continuing to give your financial support to New Life Church. We thank you. because there are still things that have to be taken care of, still things that must be done, and we still try our best to meet needs of people when we come across them, that we can help them in their times of need. So thank you to all of you that give. You can give using the Givelify app. You can give. Click on our website, and at the bottom of the page, you'll see donate button. You can click there, nlracine.org. You can still send a check or money order through the snail mail. All of those ways are still good. Now, let's go to the Word of God, because I know that that's what we come here for this morning, is for the Word of God. We're going to be reading, just to give you a chance to, you know, if you choose to look it up in your Bible and read along with me, from 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to begin at verse number 10 this morning. We're talking about being ready. Be ready. You know, with this pandemic time, this. Who would have thought we would have been shut up for so long? Who would have thought it? We couldn't even imagine it. But in the process of being shut up and not being able to travel freely like we had been accustomed to doing, there are many that are saying, and I've said it myself, I can't wait till it's safe enough to be able to take a trip. You know, I like trips. I love flying on an airplane. I never had sense enough to be scared to fly on a plane. I like road trips. I like them all. I just like going and seeing and doing and experiencing. Well, as you know, when you go on a trip, it's some planning and preparation that absolutely must take place. If you're going somewhere out of the country, you got to have a passport. And unfortunately, you can't just walk up and say, give me a passport, like you would go and get a pack of gum. It takes some paperwork that has to be filled out. It has to be sent in to a processing center. And then they do their background checks and all of those things that they do. And eventually, you get your passport. You got to buy a ticket. You got to go online or you know, call a travel agent, whatever your method is, and get a ticket that you might then be able to board that airplane. You got to buy the ticket. So for many of us, you know, we might be rolling like that, but we got to save some money. And so we have to save money over a course of time. If you're taking one of those big luxurious vacations, ain't a whole lot of us can just reach in our pocket and pull out several thousand dollars freely to go on this sort of trip. So we have to prepare. That's our magic word this morning, prepare. We have to prepare. And then I don't care, you know, how stylish you are. I don't know nobody that wants to go on a nice trip and don't want to go buy nothing new. So you go and buy you a few, you know, few outfits and all of those sorts of things. You make preparation. You notify the newspaper carrier to stop bringing your newspaper. You put a hold on your mail. You do all of these sorts of things that you might be prepared for your trip. And then when it's time to go, you roll it. Let's go to our scripture this morning, 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to read from the New International Version, beginning at verse number 12. It says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promises, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all of his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Read in your hearing from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. Now, one of the major issues that Jesus talked about often, one of the major things that he kept at the forefront of his conversation was the idea that we've got to be ready. We have to be ready. Ready for what? Ready for judgment day, ready for our eternity. You know, a lot of, I've heard people say that when we're done here on earth, it's over with and you know, that's it, we're done. No, when we leave this earth, we go to a place of eternity where we will spend forever. And where we spend forever is determined on, based on how we live in now, how we prepare. So this morning, we want to talk about the idea of being ready. Remember that story that Jesus told in scripture in Matthew chapter 25, where we talked about the bridegroom. And, you know, back then they had wedding parties that were a little different than they are now. And so the groom, the man would, you know, get all dressed up with his friends and everybody. And they would all be waiting at the home of the bride, and he would come to and pick her up from her parents' house, and then they would go to this big celebration. So they had, people were waiting for the bridegroom to show up. And there were, the scripture says, 10 virgins that had their lamps that they might go and celebrate as well. And the scripture points out that 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And the wise had extra oil for their lamps because they didn't know what time he was going to come. But whatever time he going to come, we got enough oil that's going to carry us through. We ready. Them foolish ones sat up there and fell asleep. Didn't have no extra oil or anything. And then they woke to the noise of people making, you know, excited because the bridegroom is coming. All right, y'all, let's get up. Let's get up. It's time to go. And they realize we don't have no oil. We ain't ready. So they tell the other ones that are ready, give us some of yours. Split some of yours up with me. And they were like, uh-uh, you need to go get your own. Because if we split up for you, we ain't got enough to go for all of us. Jesus ended up that whole discourse that he talked about by saying in verse number 13 of chapter 25 of St. Matthew, he says, keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour. And that's what I submit to us today. We don't know when our end is going to come here on this earth. We don't know when it's going to be. We don't know, you know, how soon, how late. We don't know. But it behooves us, I like that word, behooves. It behooves us to be ready, to be prepared for our eternity. Be prepared for our eternity. Be prepared. Be prepared. You say, well, I can't prepare for it because it's just something that's going to happen. No, the thing about eternity is, you know, when you get ready to go on vacations, you know, I've gone on many vacations, you get to pick from a wide variety, a whole earth full of destinations. You know, if you like hot, you can go to the tropics. If you like cold, you can go up to Alaska, you know, to the Yukon or somewhere. You can go here, you can go there. With eternity, it's heaven or hell. That's the only two options you have, heaven or hell. And so, you know, we know heaven is that place that the Lord has prepared for us. No more sickness, no more dying, no more trouble, nothing but peace, joy, praising God 24/7. And then hell, that place of torment, that place of torment and agony. And I've often thought about it in reading scripture. The thing that makes hell be so bad is you're conscious and aware that you're there and you're in turmoil. It's one thing to be in torment. And if you, you know, I've had a couple of surgeries, and for those surgeries, because they were going to be so painful and all of the things involved with that, they put you to sleep. And when you wake up, it's all over with. And then they give you some nice medication to keep you numbed up and stuff. And you don't experience the pain at all. But in hell, you will experience the torment and you were conscious and aware of it. Now, having said that, you have those two destinations, heaven or hell. So you need to be prepared for where you want to go. Now, I've heard some people say, if I just go to hell, then I just going to be in hell. I know that they don't mean it. I know that they don't have a true understanding of what hell is like, because nobody in their right mind wants to go to a place of torment. Nobody. I know folks, now this one is always amazing to me. You know, it's Halloween time around here, and my sister and some of my friends and some of the people from church, they love to go to the haunted houses. And I always say, why would you pay to be scared? And they'll go and pay to be scared, and it'll be reminiscent later about how they screamed and hollered and ran and like to broke their neck getting out of there. That was just a make-believe thing. But to be in torment 24/7, never ending for eternity, is absolutely ludicrous to choose to go there. So I gotta be ready. So Apostle Paul tells us in our scripture that we read today, he tells us that we have to be ready. And in order to be ready to go, the first thing he lets us know in verse number 11, he says, you ought to live holy and godly lives. Holy and godly lives. Now, people have come to make holy be some crazy thing, some odd and strange and unusual thing. It is. But it just simply means I'm set apart for God. I'm special to God, and I realize I'm special to God. So I keep myself in a place that is special for God. Special for Him. Special for His use. And many times we can't put ourselves in a holy place. We can't set ourselves apart. Why? Because we're concerned about what somebody else is going to say. We're concerned about how somebody else is going to feel about us and how we're living. Why would I be concerned about how somebody else feels about how I choose to live when I choose to live holy and set apart for God's service, for God's use, that God might be glorified by the life that I live. So when people look at my life, they can see God alive in my life. Now, I'm talking about seeing God alive in my life, because many people, they're satisfied with talking holy, talking like they're set apart, acting like, portraying the role of, and in reality, they're not set apart. They have not chosen to be holy. So because of that, they soon revert back to who they really are. You know, that's the one that will lay down their religion and tell you a thing or two and say and do things that are ungodly and be unapologetic about what they do. Jesus points out in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. So you might want to be careful that you ignore God, that you ignore living for God, that you ignore choosing to be set apart for Him. Because remember, you got to be ready. And in order to be ready, Apostle Peter is telling us, I got to be holy and godly. I got to live that way. When you live something, that becomes a part of you. That is who you are, not who you just happen to be for the day. No, it's who you are. And so because it is who you are, it becomes natural for you to live and do these sorts of things. As a believer, you want to be so much in love with God that it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about you and your life with God. You're going to set yourself apart for the Lord. So to be ready to go, we're talking about taking this trip. To be ready to go, you need to be holy and godly. The next thing you do got to do in order to be ready, you got to strive to be found without spot or blemish. In verse number 13 and 14, he says, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where the righteous dwell. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Now, when you get to talking about spotless and blameless, all of us can identify with that. Now, you know, we may not raise our hand, but ever be eating something and it's good, that, you know, your favorite burger or whatever it is, and as you got it up to your mouth to eat it, you drop sauce, ketchup, mustard, some old greasy, whatever, on your clothes. Now, you're going to go out and get that bite in your mouth. We ain't wasting no food. But you're going to stop and do everything within your power to get that spot out of your clothes. You're going to grab some water that's right there, grab that napkin, start dabbing it, holler at the kids and tell them to bring you a washcloth. You're going to do something to get rid of that stain, to get rid of that spot. Because you don't want the spot to turn into a stain. You don't want the spot to mess up your clothes. Don't let it be something that you, you know, some expensive, worthwhile garment. Now, if it's just an old t-shirt or something that, you know, you just got, ain't a big deal to you. But if it's something that matters to you, you will go through every length necessary to get rid of that spot. You look it up online, how to get rid of this spot. You're taking it to the laundromat, how to get rid of this spot. Why? Because I don't want my stuff ruined by a spot. You know, winter is coming on, and us here in Wisconsin, you know, we can identify, we get ice and snow and stuff. People that care, they treat their shoes. They get their shoes treated, they spray some stuff on there, whatever, so that the salt spots can be cleaned up real quick and easy, because I don't want my shoes looking like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You don't want your stuff looking like that. It's important, if we're going to be prepared, we gotta make sure that we are dealing with the spots in our lives, that we're dealing with the blemishes in our life. In other words, we're dealing with the flaws. Now, why would he tell us to deal with the flaws? And we say, well, ain't none of us perfect. Yeah, ain't none of us perfect. And the Lord knows that we're not perfect, but he does not expect us to continue to live in our imperfections without striving to do something about them. We often forget that when I'm in Christ, when I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 lets me know I'm now a new creature, a new creation. I'm something new. Okay, let me stop right there. Have you ever bought something new, some new clothes, and it has spots on it? You know, I've been at the store and I'm looking through to buy, even if it's a t-shirt or something. And when I pick one of them up and it got a spot on it, oh, I lay that one to the side. I want a nice, fresh, clean, unspotted garment. The scripture says, when I'm in Christ, I'm new. And the old stuff passes away. What old stuff? The spots, the blemishes, the sins, they pass away. So in order for me to become new, I gotta work on these things. You know, they make products that you can buy to, you know, that years ago, there was a big product indoor advertising thing talked about ring around the collar. You know, you just get this ring around your collar when you sweat. It's from the oils and things that are in your makeup. And they, you know, when you sweat, they get around your collar. Most folk that care. Now, if you don't care, I ain't talking to you. Folk who care, they don't want to walk around with no ring around the collar. Even if ain't nobody go see it, they don't want to walk around ring around the collar. So you can buy products and spray on there that will get rid of the ring around the collar. But I remember mama teaching us, get your bar soap. And there was a particular brand that she would tell us. She said, get this one. It worked the best. The gold one. And then she would say, get you an old toothbrush. You wet that thing, soak that brush up, and then you begin to scrub on that thing. You work on it. And in a very short order, you're breaking down all those oils and all those chemicals and all that dirt. And in a short order, it's gone. The ring is gone because you worked on it. People, we've got to work on the spots and blemishes in our life. Don't just dismiss it like it ain't no big deal. Well, it is what it is. Well, it's just how I am. It might be how you are, but it's not what God wants of you. You should want the best for you. Many of us run around talking about we want to live our best life. How about you get rid of some of the dirt that's there? If you get rid of some of the dirt that's there, there is room for the best to come. You got to work diligently to clean up. When you become aware of shortcomings in your life, the Lord ain't making you aware of the shortcoming just so you can brag about the fact that you got a shortcoming. The Lord makes us aware of our shortcomings that we might do something about them. And he gives us his Holy Ghost that it might help us. The Holy Ghost will enable us to do what we can't do. And then he get in there and help us do what we can't do. So we talking about being prepared. Remember, be prepared, be ready. So in order for me to be prepared, I got to make sure that I'm doing some stuff. I got to make sure that I'm not only am I living a holy and godly life, I got to make sure I'm dealing with the spots. I'm dealing with the blemishes. I'm dealing with the sin in my life. You know, there is this wonderful thing that goes along with the sin in our lives. I make mention of this. Those of you out that are in the sanctuary, and I know we ain't been in a long time. I know. Stick with me. Those of you that ain't, you know, when in sanctuary, I make mention of this every Sunday because it's an absolute important fact to know. The scripture says in 1 John 1:9, when we sin, we can come before God and confess our sins, own up to our sins. And then God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So now he's cleaned me up. He's forgiven me for it. I just got to walk in that cleansing and in that forgiving. I don't turn around and go back and get right back in the same mess that I left out of. Now, in order to not go back to the same stuff, that means sometime I got to shut the door on some stuff. How about we start closing the door on some stuff? How about we start packaging up some stuff and put it out on the garbage? Because that's what it is. That's what it is. You know, I've had the privilege when I babysat different babies and children over a lifetime. And so I've changed a few diapers in my day. I guarantee you I ain't got not one diaper sitting around here and around this house. Not one. Because I changed them because they were dirty. Be it that they were soiled or they were wet. They were full of germs. How about that? And as a result, I changed them, cleaned the baby up, washed him up real good, and then put on a new clean diaper, rolled that diaper up tight, that old dirty one, put it in a plastic bag, and many times immediately took it out to the trash. I didn't want it in my house. Why? It stinks. Sin stinks. Sin is nasty. So you got to do something about it. You got to do something about it. Why? Because I want to be ready. So if you really want to be ready, find yourself doing something about it. Don't ignore the sin in your life. Don't dismiss the sin in your life. And I don't care what everybody else is doing. We're talking about you and where you going, where you want to spend eternity. So find yourself striving for this newness of life. And then the last thing we want to do, we want to make sure that we live holy and godly lives. We want to make sure that we are found without spot or blemish. And then he tells us, Apostle Peter tells us, he says, be careful not to fall from our secure position. He says in verse number 16 and 17, he writes the same way in all of his letters. He's talking about Apostle Paul. He's mentioning to those that he's talking to, Apostle Paul. He says, he's speaking to all the men. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, check this out. Since you've been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your own secure place. Listen, people, we got to make sure we hear the word of God, we understand the word of God, and more importantly, we do the word of God. Why? Because I don't want to fall away from what it means to me, what it says to me, what it is telling me. Many times, ever date somebody, I'm back to the boo thing. Y'all, raise your hand. You ever have a boo? You got a boo? You want a boo? You been a boo? One of the things that people will talk about is the fact that they talk so whatever to me. Ooh, I just love the way they talk. I just love what they say. They're really encouraging to me. They support me. They push me to be better. How about reading the Word of God that it might support you and push you to what? Become all that God wants you to become. There's a whole lot of people out here that are distorting what God says, that will tell you everything is okay, that it's all right. They'll sanction it to be okay. For you, it can't be okay. And so because it can't be okay, I ain't trying to listen. I ain't trying to hear it. I'm not going to co-sign with somebody that's going to tell me I can live any kind of way when the Word tells me that I can't. Verse number 18 of the scripture we're reading, 2 Peter chapter 3, he tells me I got to grow, increase in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I got to grow in that knowledge. Why would I need to grow in that knowledge? Go back over there to 2 Timothy. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is God-breathed. And it's useful for what? For teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I'm listening to the Word of God. I'm not trying to listen to what somebody says that's distorting and twisting what God says to their own destruction. And then their destruction becomes my destruction too, because I listened to something that I knew better than. I knew better than. Why would I do that? I'm being prepared. I'm preparing, I'm getting ready, and I want to stay ready. It's incumbent, it's necessary for every believer to know and understand God's word. Because if I know it and I understand it, I can do it. Seek to get an understanding. You know, we'll seek to understand everything else. But when it comes to God's word, we'll start telling ourselves about how hard it is and how difficult it is. It just don't make no sense to me. And we'll close the book and go on about our business, knowing we're living a life of destruction. Instead, you want to take the time, put forth the effort to get to understand what God is saying. Don't allow yourself to be fooled. Know for yourself. When it's all said and done, are you prepared for your trip to eternity? Are you prepared for your trip to eternity? Now, you can tell me whatever you want to tell me, and you know, it is what it is. But are you actually prepared? Because the thing of it is, you know, many of us, we kind of say, well, when I get old, everybody doesn't live to get old. Everybody doesn't live to get older. And we never know when our time will come, when the Lord will call for us. And then we got to report to duty. The scripture makes mention of the fact that it's appointed for people to die. And after they die, they face the judgment. You know, and I've noticed some folk that dodged the judge down here on earth. They dodged him. They left him, moved away. They changed. You know, we see it on TV. They changed their identity. They do all that stuff. You can't dodge God and his judgment. You will face the judgment, and he's going to judge us according to our living, according to our preparing. So I submit to you today, be ready, because if you ain't ready, you ain't going. Simple as that. Be ready. If you ain't ready, you ain't going. Now, I need to just put this in here, because I don't want to leave anybody hanging. It takes us acknowledging Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And a lot of people just don't understand what that means. To accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I'm very simply acknowledging the fact that I can't do this by myself, because I'm just a sinful person. It's just natural for me to sin. And when I sin, I'm displeasing to God, and I don't have fellowship with God like I need to. I can't do this by myself. But Jesus paid the price for us in giving his life for us and being that perfect sacrifice because he had no sin. He knew no sin. And he died, and the scripture lets us know that he rose again on the third day with all power in his hand, and he's there as our Lord and our Savior. So I accept him as my Lord and my Savior. I allow him into my life. I admit that I'm a sinner and that I need his help. And then I let him help me. And I go on to become who God says I could become. I've run into people that will envy other people and say, I wish I could be a holy person like they are. I wish I could have the walk that they have. You can. If you just submit your will to God and live as he would have you to live. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today. We thank you for all things. We thank you because you are God. And you're not just God, but you are our God. You're almighty. You're powerful. You who created the heavens and the earth, that hung the stars and the moon in the space. You turned around and created even us mankind. And your word tells us that you turned around and breathed into us the breath of life. You are God. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for loving us and watching over us and protecting us and your care for us. Thank you. Thank you for even making a way of salvation for us. While we were still in our sins, you sent your son Jesus that he might die on Calvary's cross for us. Thank you. Thank you for giving us each day what we need to get through the day. Now, Father, we ask that you forgive us for any sins that we've committed, anything that we have done, God, that's outside of your will, where we missed the mark and we didn't measure up and live in the way that we should. Sometimes we knew better. And then there were those times that we didn't know no better, but we still did wrong. Either way, God, forgive us. Wash us clean and make us whole. And Father, we need you as you forgive us, help us to forgive ourselves, that we can move forward in you, that we can lay aside that thing that we have done that was such a disgrace, that was so shameful, that was so sinful. We can lay that aside and move on to higher and better in you. Lord, give us each day that we need to get through the day's journey. Help us to focus in and understand that you call for us to live day by day. Many times we fail because we're trying to live a lifetime instead of just getting through today. Father, help us. Look on those that are sick and afflicted, especially those that are sin sick. You know, sin causes all sorts of things that are wrong. But if we give our lives to you, we can be freed from those things. You are God who breaks chains of bondage, chains of depression, chains of emotional ups and downs, chains of low self-esteem. You break these chains. So Father, do that according to your will and your wisdom. Touch those that are sick from whatever their ailments might be. You're greater than cancer and even COVID and diabetes and high blood pressure and all sorts of ailments. You're even greater than those unknown sicknesses that we go to the doctor and they say, well, we know something wrong, but we don't know what it is. You, God, are greater than that. So speak life. Give us, God, to love as you would have us to love. Even in the face of hatred, let us love. Let us do your will, God, that we might bring you glory. Bless the need wherever there might be. Let us as your people help where we can help. And when it's greater than us, we turn to you that you might meet that need. Be our fish and loaves of bread, God, to meet every need. And we shall rejoice and praise you continually as we learn of you, as we grow in you, as we prepare and stay prepared, that one day when you call us, we'll be ready to go. We ask these blessings in your son Jesus' name and for his sake. Thank you, God. Amen. Now you go and live in victory today. Go and rejoice. Go and make the changes that are necessary. You know, if you've been doing some things that you know you should not have been doing, today's a good day to change. Don't wait till tomorrow because tomorrow's not promised. Don't wait till next week. Don't wait till, well, when we can go back into the sanctuary. No, you can do this on your own at home. Reach out to us. Send us a message. We might pray along with you. We might be supportive to you. We love you. Share this with somebody. Tag somebody. like it so somebody will know it. Let's just spread this message about. Let's just get the numbers up. Get the numbers up that the people of God may be helped. God bless you. We love you.